I love the first two, and one of them's publishing shortly. I'm just getting our post up there. Our little video's out, our little clips are done. We're getting so good at this. And today we're talking about the first one is delegation equals more time and freedom, which you are hammering into my head. Lainey and I got to spend part of last weekend together in person, which was such a treat. And I think we talked for 7 hours straight.
Yes, I think your husband went to sleep on us.
He did.
Or he didn't wake up on us. That's what it was.
He woke up and we weren't there, and he just went back to sleep knowing all we were doing was talking. And so, but this was a topic that kept coming up though too. And you're being so sweet, you know, walking me through the lists I need to make sure I'm doing the things that we talked about in the previous episode that give us joy.
Yeah.
You know, to make sure the joy isn't being sucked out of my day because I'm having to do all the tasks that I hate. And you admitted too, there is no getting around. We have to do some stuff we don't like. Okay. Yeah. You can't always just play and have fun. It isn't how it works.
I wish we could.
I know.
But the end result is play, right? The end result is time. The end result is freedom.
Right. Let's get into this about delegating. Let's help people get to this point, or at least on the path to this point.
So there's some, and I think I might have mentioned it in the last episode, and we talked a little bit about my perspective is people don't want to trust, and some people are afraid, and some people don't know. There's different reasons why you don't delegate. You either don't trust people, so you're like holding really tightly to your baby. You have to have all the control. Nobody can do it as good as you. You are afraid to relinquish that control. And then there's the, I don't know what I don't know. And I like to live in that space sometimes of I don't know what I don't know, because it allows me a lot of freedom and flexibility to learn what I don't know.
Yep.
I think I said that a couple times this weekend. I'm like, I don't know what I don't know. So I need to know what I need to know.
I think that's when Tom checks out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of no's in there. But delegation is your path to freedom. Delegation is your path to getting all of this crap out of your head and releasing the stress and holding on to the burden. Like, you basically are burdening yourself. It's a self-induced stress. It's self-induced burden. It's self-induced chaos. It's self-induced whatever, because you're not willing or able or desiring to let go. One of my things in my day-to-day affirmations is let go and let God more. So it's one of my daily things, because we get so caught up in our own shit that we're not letting go of things. We're not letting nature take its course. We're not letting God handle it. We're not letting the universe handle whatever your power source is, right? And so part of that is you've got to let go. And I don't mean to get all religious and spiritual on everybody, because I curse like a sailor too. So you get to both sides of me.
but that is part of it. It's the, you get yourself so stuck and paralyzed.
Yeah.
That you can't move past that. It was like what I was talking about also with the sewing machine. With anything, when you get so focused on that one piece of it, you are not able to go look and open the windows and look outside and go, oh, look at all that.
Yep. It's that parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system thing. And there's way more.
There's science behind it. Lots of science
behind it. Go study it yourself. I'm not going to like dig that deep into it, but we do, we get frozen. And then we think that we can't let go of it because somebody won't be able to do it as well as we can do it. And to be honest, you're probably not doing it that good anyway. That's the reality of it, is when you get to a point where you're holding on to everything, what are you doing at 100% and what are you doing at 20%, right? There are things that things are falling off your plate, regardless of whether or not you want to delegate them, regardless of whether or not you're good at them, regardless of whether or not you want to bring somebody in, things are falling off your plate. So this is your opportunity to really find your way to delegate. And I talked about love, hate, delegate in the last episode, but here's what I want you to do. You can go download the freebie, but I don't even care about that. I want you to just pause for a second. I want you to think about everything that's in your head. I want you to think about everything that you do on a daily basis, a monthly basis, daily, weekly, monthly, annual. And really, I really like to stick into the daily, weekly, monthly. Annually, there's not that many until you're running across them. And then you're like, oh, I have to do that on taxes, right?
Yeah.
So there's those bigger recording things that you have to do on a regular, on an annual basis. But if you look at what's on your plate today and you look for the next 5 days and what's on your plate, what's happening? And one of my friends actually said going through this process helped her in her personal life because she was doing everything at home too. And
I
she was,
told you that too last time. That's what's
yeah,
happening.
yes. Yeah, there's been a few of you that have been like, please help me in my house. I'm the only person taking the trash out and washing the toilets and doing all the things, right? So, men, help your ladies. Come on, ladies, help your men. But go through and identify what are you doing? And then I want you to look at that list and I want you to put an L and or H next to it. I'm really simplifying this for you guys. Put an L or H next to it. I love it and I hate it. Then I want you to take all the things that you hate and I want you to look at those. And if it's something that you cannot delegate, maybe your accounting, maybe a level of your accounting. A lot of us can outsource our bookkeeping and accounting, but maybe we can't outsource the internal elements that we have to prepare for our bookkeepers and our accountants, right?
Right.
So I don't outsource. I do now, actually. I have somebody. It took me 5 years to be willing to let somebody into my system to go attach all my receipts and to send the things off to my bookkeeper. That's a level of trust that I had to get to, right? It wasn't an overnight thing. There's certain things that I understand the difficulty and the struggle to allow somebody into a part of your business where you feel really vulnerable.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of vulnerability in our as business owners because we don't want to be judged. We don't want people to see our faults and our failures. We don't want somebody to see where we're crumbling and failing and struggling because we want to have this good false front on and we want to say we're doing amazing and there's no problems ever in our business. I call bullshit on all of us because it's not true. Like we are all having different challenges somewhere in our life or in our business. So this is where vulnerability is really hard for business owners. So I want you to take those things you hate and do you feel comfortable? And can you get to a point of comfort and trust where you can delegate those things out to somebody on your team? There's a whole process when I get into it of like how to delegate and what steps to delegate because there's three layers of delegation and training that I go into in Love Hate Delegate. But for now, can you trust? Can you allow somebody in to that vulnerable place? And if you can't, then sorry, you have to keep that thing. But I bet you there's 10 other things that you can delegate really
Right.
easily, right? So
There's a piece though on that as I'm going through the same process and making that list for Salve. Sometimes I group too many things in one task. Well, that actually is like nine parts. Can I get rid of five of those parts and keep just four? And the other piece, so there's that. There was another piece that you and I were laughing about last week when we were talking about my gardening. And the thing that we do to take care of ourselves, and sometimes stepping out of our day to take that break, to recharge, to get back to where we have to be. Careful with all the things you love doing, because sometimes we love doing it so much, we use it as a distraction to avoid the stuff we don't like doing. So that's, oh, I don't have the time. I'm still weeding and planting little bulbs, whatever it is, or I'm working on my logo again, or whatever the thing is that you really like doing. Separate, if it's not making you money, even if it's part of your business, it might be like a hobby thing that you have in there, but
And
it's really a distraction.
that's like the perfect lead into the love. So you should be holding on to the things that are making you money. And that bring you joy. And some of the things that bring you joy are not going to bring you money, right? So sometimes those things that bring you joy actually really do need to be delegated because they're not making you money. And you need to be focused until you have a badass sales team that is going to be as good as you on the phone and on video and in person with your sales prospects. And some companies are there, right? They have sales teams. But if you're listening and you don't have a salesperson, hi, look at yourself in the mirror. You are it. You are the salesperson. So that's your income producing activity. Getting on podcasts, income producing activity, writing content, income producing activity. A lot of people want to outsource their content to AI or their team. Don't do it. That's an income producing activity. I can tell you every time somebody writes a piece of content with AI, I'm like, That's laziness. AI is a whole nother conversation that we're going to get into on future episodes because
Future, yeah.
that's Susan's space. But that's an income producing activity that people don't want to really acknowledge, right? Signing contracts, networking, all of those things. Those are the things that you need to be doing. That's where your money is coming from, along with your customer journey, which we talked about before. Those are income producing activities that you want to stay focused on. You want to keep them on your list until you have somebody who is as good as you at closing business.
But the signed contracts and things, it gets back to the little pieces within the bigger piece. You are making the sales calls, but maybe somebody can do a few of the tasks that will support you making those calls, helping you put together and draft and edit a white paper. You
That.
know, whatever it is, there are other pieces. So don't think I do all of that.
Right,
You have
exactly.
to pick up the phone is what you have to do.
Yes.
You have to send a personal connection request that's handwritten by you that says, "Hey, I want to connect because," not just, "We're in the same network. We do the same thing. We have some same people." I'm like, that's not
Exactly.
enough. No, what's the real reason? But only you have those.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about social media. We were talking about this weekend. Everybody wants to outsource all their social media. And people have been, I think from the beginning of where marketers took over social media and ruined it, is when people decided that they wanted to outsource their social media. I get to say this because Susan is in marketing and we
It
get
is true, though.
to, but marketers ruined everything. But
They did, because then it became a race of who could produce the biggest glut of stuff and outdo. I have way more content than you every day, but nobody
right.
wants to read it.
No, nobody wants to read it. So let's talk about social media as a process of delegation, right? So Susan's gonna delegate pieces of her social media. I delegate out pieces of my social media. Depending on who you're delegating to determines what actual pieces you delegate.
Yes.
That's really important. So it's not just about delegation, it's about who and what you're delegating. So who you're delegating to and what you're delegating.
Who's a
What
fit?
What is that person's skill set? And this leads into our next episode so beautifully. I was very smart when I put these together, just so you know. But who, what is their skill set? What's their capacity? Are they on the same time zone? What's their knowledge of the technology that you're using? Is English their first language? All of those pieces matter when you start to look at what you're delegating. Do they have a length of time and experience where you can go, hey, I can just hand this over to them and they will figure it out and they're going to come back to me and they're going to say, hey, I've found some errors or I found some issues. And before I do this thing, can you double check? Because this is what I think you meant, but did you really mean that?
Right.
But not always. There are team members that you have on your team, and there are skilled workers who are task takers, which means you need to write out the task A to Z of what that task looks like and what your expectations are of that task being completed.
Right.
So Susan has to write her own content. I broke her little bubble this weekend. She was very disappointed. She was like, what? You should have seen her face, people.
Oh my gosh, I was crushed.
I did. I like
I thought
literally.
that could come out of my H column.
Yeah,
And it
no.
can't. And I'm really bummed about that.
I know. I'm kind of laughing, but I feel bad because I get it. But if you have a person who can write your content, I used to have somebody on my team, which I wish I had her back, but she had personal life things and she's gone on her own next part of her journey. But I had a person on my team that captured my voice, and you would never know if it was her content or my content that was going out. And that's an amazing find. When
Yes.
you can find somebody who can capture your voice, glom onto them and never let them go because they're amazing. And it does take that off your plate, especially if they can capture the essence of who you are and the vibe of who you are.
Right.
Otherwise, sorry, Charlie, you got to do your own content.
But then you told me too, I was accepted of that pretty quickly. And I said, well, then I may as well just go ahead and schedule it all too, then, if I'm going to bother with that. Because
And
by the
what did
time I
I
do
say?
that and I have to tell somebody else how to schedule it, what I need to do then is to create, here is the master schedule. Now you go schedule out this content that I've written. And it might not save a ton of time, but that hour is precious.
Right.
That 1 hour in this one piece can be another hour in another piece that can keep going. And so I have to look at it too, not the disappointment of I have to do this piece of it, but can I get rid of chunks of things that free up more of my time that I'm the one who cleaning the toilets. I'm the one cleaning up the cat barf. I'm the one who does it. Can right. somebody else just do those little pieces and I will still do the other things. I'll still brush the cats. I'll still feed the cats. But what little pieces can I take out of the day that also doesn't make me go,
exactly.
When I have to do it.
Exactly.
Scheduling. Scheduling is the part of social media I can delegate.
Yes, delegate it. I hate scheduling. It's a pain in my ass. It actually takes me more time to schedule content than write content. Because I can write content like nobody's business.
Exactly.
Scheduling content, I'm like, oh, I gotta click here, I gotta click there, I gotta click here. I'm like, I gotta do all these damn clicks and they're in my way and I just want to get it done. So when I don't have to schedule content, I'm super happy about that. The other side of that is the research that goes into the things that you're working on. So your sales, your marketing, you want to build a list of potential leads. Delegate it. You want hashtags research for your current industry. Delegate it. You want...
That part's easy.
Well, yeah, but delegate your...
Yeah, you're using, I can delegate to AI.
You can delegate to AI, yeah. So delegation can be delegated to a tool, right? Because you can delegate. So an automation, if you're doing something where you're taking it from a manual task to an automated task, you just delegated it off your plate.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that it has to go to a human. It can go to technology as well. How do you delegate that? I was just chatting with a client and she sends this big, massive, long email to her team. She's a catering company. And the week of the event, she sends this ginormous email of like all of the things that have to happen and all of their reminders. And I was like, we're going to put this in a hub. So when the contract signs, all of those pieces go into the hub, the team can check it. And then you can remind the team, you can send the team a reminder that just says, hey, hub's updated, go check out the details for the upcoming events, done and done. It takes me over an hour to put all of this information together and to make sure the team has it before the week of. I'm like, that's an hour she could spend prepping for the event, cooking, doing her menus, doing her recipes, other things rather than sitting in front of the computer on drafting an email. That's just the information can live elsewhere.
Right.
Simplifying is what delegation is.
I love what you brought up though just now, and I know it's a little off topic, the hub, having a portal that people can go to, a specific client. This is our portal for events. This is our portal for this. Austin has a portal for things to be edited. He has one document he reads for the week of what needs to be edited. When he's done, he deletes that. And I just refill that same document. So he goes to the same link every time though. Mm-hmm. And when we create that, we're also saving our team members a lot of time of digging through emails, of looking for this and looking for that. If it's in one place, I know for Binky Patrol, for the nonprofit, they log into one page and all their major tools are linked there. Mm-hmm. I add more tools there. I can go to the specific tools and edit them and their documents and all those things, but they get to it from one place. And delegating, don't think it's just for your own tasks. How can you also help your team by simplifying what you want them to do and how they find the information, see the most updated information? Like the hub that you're talking about for your client, all she had to do is update that one document that they're all going to. It could change every day.
Yeah.
And you can even have it denote, these are new changes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many ways to utilize delegation and automation together. And I love, we have hubs for everything. So our main hub is, we have three. We have Slack. So that's our main communication for all, like our hub communication. And then we use ClickUp for all of our SOP. Our SOPs live in ClickUp, but are attached to Drive, right? So then ClickUp, all of our tasks, all of our projects, all of our vision, all of the pieces that we, if we want to go find something, it's a one click to find it. So that's our hub. And then Drive is where we actually house the content and the photos and the media and the plans and the strategies all live in the written out versions of everything, right? Live and Drive. So we have three main hubs that we operate in. The team knows where to find them all. They know like where everything lives without question.
And you and I were talking about permissions and things about downloading a document from Drive. If you create it for a client, ask them to download it, delete the one that you had, and upload it under their own name so they're the owner. I love that. And using Drive as a hub, one of the things that I do love about it is versioning that's in there because I've had to do that. People will make a change or something. I can track changes. I cannot let them change. I cannot do all these things. Or I can just go back to yesterday and say, oh, okay, this is the one I need. Or do a save as. So those are all ways to use your hub and again to delegate and save everybody time.
The one last thing I'll say about delegation, if you're going to delegate to a human, is look at basically rank them like one through three. And one is the simplest thing that you can offboard with very little instruction, very little oversight. It's just a quick, hey, go do this on a regular basis.
Right.
One of my things is go pull all of our analytics every Monday. Every Monday, my team goes and makes sure that our analytics are pulled. I don't have to, like, there was training to it, but right now, but there wasn't because they already know how to get to the analytics. So it's really quick, go do this. I don't have to think about it. Level two requires some oversight, requires more involvement on your part as the owner to make sure that your team member understands the task that you're asking them to do.
Yes.
So that requires a SOP or a process written out, maybe some video training. And then the third level is the task that you're probably holding on to the tightest, and it's probably the most comprehensive. That requires most the most steps, the most attention to detail, the most oversight. And so that's the level three that I always say, get rid of one and two first and get those off your plate until you're ready to really allow that third, that level three to be off your plate.
I think that's a
So
good plan. It
simplifies
is. It's
it.
a good, it's one thing to put a checkbox, but to rank it is better because
Yeah.
that suddenly becomes the first pieces you need to document the exact steps on how to do it. Start with the ones, then go to the twos because you'll be in practice from doing the ones.
Exactly. Yeah. The more you get consistent with it, the better you'll be. And then you'll be somebody like me who's like, how can I delegate this as fast as possible? And what do I need to put in place as fast as possible to give this to my team so I
Right.
don't have to do it?
Exactly.
So I live in that space of complete delegation. There are things that I have to do, and my team likes to delegate back to me. I'm like, shit, I just got delegated back work, and I was like, wait, all right, yes, that's more in my wheelhouse. So yes, okay, fine, pass it back.
That's funny. I took a little bit of time for Binky this afternoon. We have a new chapter starting, Frito-Lay chapter from PepsiCo in Georgia. She's so excited. She's starting up this whole thing. And I was going through the site and showing her all these things, screen sharing. Oh, yeah. And then this is what you do. And I was looking on the net. I said, oh, and then we have this event coming up. I said, wait, there's nothing linking to that event on the homepage. Oh, wait. She says, well, how do I do that event? So, oh, it's right. Oh, I don't have that link yet. So, it's reviewing your own stuff too. Where did you miss the boat? And when you do delegate, this is something I've learned the hard way, especially at first. When you delegate, you still have to go back and check to make sure. And it isn't that you have to go back and check on them. Did they do it? But did I explain it clearly enough to get the results I expected? It is totally on me at that point that. Just because I've delegated and I've documented, so I think perfectly, when they execute it, I owe it to them to not shove that off and say, oh, good, that's done. I don't have to do it. But did they do it to my expectations, my hopes, and dreams? Am I pleased? Did they put a new spin on it? Is there anything I want to ask them about? And it also, you and I were talking about this over the weekend, going back and doing those surveys of our past clients. Or at the end of every project, go back. But even on these tasks, hey, you did it a couple of times. Do you have any feedback? Are there any questions? Did you run into problems? let's adjust the documentation and what I'm delegating to you so you will have more success and I will have more confidence in your work. And you would have more ability to bring somebody else on to do that if we found something better for you to do.
Mm-hmm. The concept of developing processes does not just land and is not only with the CEO or business owner. It's with the entire team. So this is a process that needs to snowball in a positive way, right? It needs to snowball. You need to start as the CEO and business owner to develop these processes, to offboard. Yeah. But you also have to be cognizant of what you're offboarding and delegating to your team and what you're outsourcing, because are you burying them in work that they don't love to do? Are you delegating properly and appropriately to the right team members? Because I live in a place where I want my team to also be happy in their work. Mm-hmm. We're never going to be 1,000% happy with all the work we do, right? Because there's always going to be a task where I dread this task, but I have to do it and I have to get it done, right? So your team has that too. We're all human. So don't forget your team is human and they're experiencing a level of overwhelm and chaos and inefficiency. So when you start to delegate to them, have the conversation with them about delegating. Are you capable? Can you do this? Will you do this? If they start to procrastinate down the road, you're like, there's a problem. Any kind of procrastination, anytime that pops up, it's a red flag that says there's something here that's blocking them from doing this. So maybe they're not the right person for this task to be handled by, right? So you need to look at it goes back to who you're delegating to and what that task is. And if you're not communicating, you're just like, I'm just going to outsource everything and I'm going to let them figure out. That's not this conversation. And I might want to smack you upside the head if that's what you're going to do, because you're causing more harm for yourself and your team. So be really thoughtful about it. Be really intentional about how you're delegating and who you're delegating to, because you need to make sure that you recognize and remember that your team is human. And most teams and most people, they're going to want to do their best for you. Not everybody. That's a very standard broad, but I think most of us have teams that are awesome and we love, and they're trying their best and they're going to hit a roadblock, and don't be their roadblock.
Let's wrap this up I think we should end it with a ratio on this. What are, as a person who runs a business, what ratio am I willing of tasks to do that I don't like doing, that I hate doing, but sometimes have to be done? And realistically, or a nice goal to me, is 80-20. Mm-hmm. 20% I hate doing. 80% mm-hmm. I love doing. 70-30 isn't, it's okay. It's a starting point. But you want to get to 80-20 to be realistic, but think of your team needs to also have that. Start mm-hmm. them at 70-30, get to 80-20. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, having those very open discussions with them and say, hey, I know some of this is crap. I hate it. That's why I gave it to you. And so now I want you to pick the things you hate and let's see what we can do about that. Whether you have to keep a few of them, or maybe we can eventually bring on another team, have it as a goal. Let's bring on somebody else so you can do more of what you love doing and just keep your 20%, and let's find somebody else for that other 10%.
Exactly. Implementing Love, Hate, Delegate with your team is going to change your business.
It will. Mm-hmm. Great place to end. All right. Find us on rootedinrevenue.com or in all your favorite podcast apps. See you in the next episode.
Never miss an episode. Check out rootedinrevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out. We'll get you all the information you need to do your best with marketing and your online presence.